Are you guys ready to record this whole thing all over again?
I didn't care for it. I didn't buy it.
That seems pretty ridiculous.
I don't even want to think about the possibility of you having your dick out.
Yikes.
Is this the most important thing in the universe? What happened to it? I don't know.
I needed to suck in absolutely every moment of awesomeness.
Yeah. Welcome back to another great episode of the Geek Legacy Podcast. David here once again with the best buds a guy could ever hope for. Randy and Justin, how the mother heck in hell are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
I'm pretty good, too. I don't know what you said, but I hope that I am doing as well as you are.
It was like a half swear, but like a dad swear, to where you don't want to swear in front of your kids, but then like followed up with like a double dad swear, and it didn't work out. So let's just pretend that never happened.
Wait. I would love to, but I was... What was... the other day, I was... Watch this. I don't remember what it was, but the word wuss came up, and I was like, I fucking love that word. That is like frack for the P word. It's just like a made-up word. I love it.
So you it like absolutely... wuss, you'll say wuss, but you won't say the P version.
No. Isn't that wuss. Nuts?
What if I said he was a moist wuss?
Oh, man. It's so stupid, but I love it. It's totally the frack of P-words. It's the best.
It is, and you can say it in front of your kids.
I know.
I love how it took us only 30 seconds to get completely off the rails.
No. It's Dave's fault.
Justin's dying over here.
Seriously.
I know.
Justin, get a drink of water. We'll talk.
I don't have...
Start talking about what you just have to get some drink. You already drink it all?
I know it's not water there though. It's something else.
It's urine or whatever fluids you put in you.
It's got fizz.
We don't judge. Okay, I don't care what the is of the dude.
Anywho.
Anyways, cinematographer Bradford Young, who's going to be shooting the untitled Han Solo standalone movie, has described the picture as unexpected and dramatic. I'm pretty excited. He's a pretty talented cinematographer. He did Sicario. He did The Arrival, which comes out soon. And
is that
looks
the
amazing
one with Charlie Sheen and Aliens?
No. That's the old Arrival. I think that's The Arrival. I think this one is just Arrival. The Arrival had the kid who could turn his legs backwards.
I didn't like that.
No, I don't like any of that movie.
Off-putting.
She is a scientist. Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Yeah.
So, Randy, you like Star Wars. You've been known to watch a Star War, too. Does it excite you? Because those are probably two words I don't use to describe the standard Star Wars movies. So maybe this will be different.
Well, hell, I'm willing to give it a shot. Dramatic and unexpected, sure. I don't know what he expects that we expect, but... But hell, I'm down for it. I like it.
Maybe he expects us to not like it, and so then it'd be unexpected. Like an unexpected journey.
Oh, don't do that to us.
Huh. We'll get back to The Hobbit later, probably. But yeah, I mean, this is a pretty cool team we got going on now. I mean, we've cast Solo. We have last week we got Donald Glover was gonna be Lando, of course, Lord Miller are going to be the directors of the film, whose whole career has been turning terrible ideas into great films with Jump Street movies, Cloud with a Chance of Meatballs, and the Lego movie, all of which are terrible things on paper, but ended up being amazing pieces of cinema. So, Justin, this can't go wrong, right? Nothing can go wrong in this movie.
True.
It's a long pause before that's true. I don't know if I'm lying, it's true.
Yeah, no, that'll be great.
What is your biggest concern, Justin?
I don't know.
Decided that it would be good.
With Han Solo?
Yeah, with Han Solo standalone movies.
I don't know. I guess my biggest concern is buying into the actor taking on the role. Harrison Ford is... It's one of those big leaps, right? Where you've had the same face for so long, almost my entire life, basically, I have only known Harrison Ford to be Han Solo. And I can't imagine anybody else playing the part, so I am going to be unfair and it's going to be hard not to judge, and it's going to be hard not to be biased, but I will try my best. But ultimately, right, that's my only concern.
Right. Alden Ehrenreich, I know we keep dancing around his name.
I don't even know it.
Yeah, that's all right, Alden.
It's not Harrison Ford. And I don't even really care for Harrison Ford, it's just he's my Han, and that's all there is to it.
Now, keeping in mind, too, that this is going to be written by Lawrence Kasdan and his son, and it will be Lawrence Kasdan's last film, and he has written some doozies, you know, not counting, you got Empire Strikes Back, you got Raiders of the Lost Ark, you got some cool shit there. Does that, so now you got great writer, great director, talented co-star, amazing cinematographer. Can Disney fuck this up, you guys?
I don't know, all the pieces Disney... are... Oh, go for it, Randy.
I was going to say, Disney can always fuck it up. But I think just the popularity of Star Wars alone will give it a moderate success. As to how much beyond moderate, I don't know. That's gonna depend on a lot of stars aligning. And David, to answer the question that you asked of Justin, you're sick of hearing me say it, but I'm going to reiterate what I said last time. The only thing I'm concerned about is how much. How close to the original trilogy period this gets.
Right.
I know you're going to be happy if it ends with him walking right into the cantina right before meeting up with Obi-Wan. But for me, I'd like a little bit more space in between. That's my only concern.
Yeah, I was thinking about it a little bit the other day, is that, you know, we know Rogue One is going to end right before Episode 4. If we can get this Han Solo movie to end right before Episode 4, and we get the next standalone movie, whatever they decide, if it's going to be Kenobi, whatever it is, it would kind of be cool if that also ended right at Episode 4, because while I don't want a reboot of the original trilogy, it would set up this timeline to where all of these franchises are converging, and it would almost allow us to take like side stories within the original trilogy, and I think I might be more accepting of that if we kind of set the rules ahead of time. So I didn't know what you guys thought of that, of the idea of all of these standalone movies kind of taking place in this middle ground between Episode 3 and Episode 4, leading into events that could take place during the original trilogy. Is that something that excites either of you?
I think it could work. But it's only going to work, I think, if we're led up to it. We have to be like held by the hand and walked up to this precipice before being asked to make that leap, you know? And the way of doing it is if everything converges at Episode 4. We've seen all these standalone movies, and they all lead right up to the beginning of what we're already used to. At that point in time, we're kind of used to seeing Alden Ehrenreich or Ewan McGregor as a young Obi-Wan or whatever the situation may be. We're already used to seeing them in that character approaching that time period. That would make it harder, easier to swallow if there were side adventures later on. But I don't know. Side adventures... That's still a huge hurdle that I don't know if they're even going to try.
What do you think, Justin?
So, for me, as someone who hasn't really read too much into Star Wars, my biggest hero isn't involved in any of these. Like, for me, it's all about Luke Skywalker. And then, to an extent, even Obi-Wan Kenobi. So, I would be mostly excited for an Obi-Wan Kenobi standalone, and Luke Skywalker is my primary interest. So the rest is fun in its own way, but it's not my great takeaway. It's not what I want to see. I want more Skywalker. I don't really care about the rest. I get more joy from you guys telling me about something that you read than I would actually watch. I like the 5-minute synopsis versus nice. The 2-hour movie. I prefer the Wikipedia version of the side stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a campfire story versus dedicating, you know, that much time and effort to something else that may or may not be connected to the overarching universe.
Right. That's how I read comics now. I'll wiki it. They'll tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we talked briefly, Justin, about all of these parts. So on paper, it's almost like Disney's assembling like all of the right pieces to make this like master film. And is it a concern that maybe they're trying to be too cute with this film by creating such a great team of writers, directors, cinematographer, and actors, to where, you know, there might be a too much and it won't translate onto film?
I don't know. I think, like, with episode 7, it was just one giant jerk-off fan service, and I'm worried that these other movies might do the same thing. Like, I want them to take risks as opposed to holding our hand. And I would appreciate the risk taker over the hand holding any day of the week. So my biggest fear with bringing in people that have already been working on this business would be that we're going to be getting the same rehash shit.
Yeah, that's actually pretty interesting, because I was just watching something about, it was on about Zelda, taking it to video games, which you love more. It was talking about like the difference between the original Zelda versus like a modern Zelda, to where like modern Zeldas are all about like hand holding and like, look at these rocks, you have to use a bomb there because there's a crack there, and you know, all these tutorials, to where like the original Legend of Zelda didn't even drop you off with a weapon. You had to like find your weapon, and like there was like no direction or instruction. And if that's kind of like, is that something that's just because us as game players, or in this case moviegoers, have gotten lazy and don't want to do the mental math to figure things out and they have to be handheld? Or do you think that as someone who goes to movies, as someone who plays video games, you want that discovery? Or do you just get frustrated after 10 minutes and be like, fuck this game?
I like the discovery. I think that makes it more fun. I don't want to be completely lost. Like Dark Souls, for example, is a game where it doesn't give you anything to go off of, and you just, it's trial and error, but it's very punishing. It is extremely punishing to die, and it's, the reward is great when you finally beat something, but that getting to is like, call the Nintendo hotline and figure out what the hell to do, because it is just frustrating. But for movies, this is actually kind of weird, because I literally just had this happen to me. I watched a movie on Friday and I hated it. I watched The Witch. Have you heard of that? It's like like set in like the 1600s. It's like the Puritans, the family that gets outcast from their village, and then they are terrorized by a witch in the woods. And I hated
super trailer.
Yeah, hated every second of it. I'm watching it. I'm hating it. I don't want to watch it ever again. And I didn't understand what all the fuss was about. But the whole weekend, all I could do was think about this movie, and it was just weird how it just kind of had to just soak in me, you know. And I just had to absorb it and kind of figure it out after I already watched it. And I've actually, even though I still never want to see it again, I actually kind of appreciate it a little bit more. So, I don't know. I think that that's kind of weird. Movies have a funny way of doing that.
Yeah. Like Anchorman. I remember we both hated Anchorman, and we were at work, and we just kept quoting it. We're like, yeah, maybe we like Anchorman.
Yeah. It's funny how that works. I was the same way with For Your Consideration. I hated it when I watched it, but then after thinking about it, I was like, yeah, it wasn't so bad. I mean, I'll never watch it again, but thinking back, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was as I was watching it.
You think you hate it now?
So yeah, what's he driving?
Well, what about you, Randy? Disney seems to be, we see all of these projects that Disney works on, to where there's like these creative differences that, you know, that's a popular term thrown around, and we're going to get to that within a future story for another project. But it seems like, especially with the Marvel franchise, now that they're starting to expand in Star Wars, we've seen it once or twice, these creative differences, or them bringing in people for reshoots and stuff like that. Do you think, I guess we'll have to see Rogue One to get our definitive answer, but do you think this is Disney meddling, trying to make a safe product? Or do you think this is them changing their mind? Like, they wanted to do something different and special, and then when they got it, they're like, I don't like this. Let's go back to the formula that works. What do you think Disney's involvement in Star Wars is going to be? Is it going to be like Marvel, to where everything looks the same? Or do you think they're going to actually allow them to take chances? Because it is Star Wars.
Well, personally, my thoughts are this. I think they wanted to take chances, and then they saw how that turned out, probably with an early cut of Rogue One, and then realized, oh shit, we have way too much money riding on this to be taking chances. Let's go the safe route. So I think we're going to see it a little bit more homogenized going forward. Even though we have the DP of the Han Solo movie saying it's going to be dramatic and unexpected, I still think it's going to be not outside of the bounds of what we would consider to be a normal Star Wars movie. So sadly, I'm going to predict that it's going the way of Marvel.
Right. And that's disappointing, because most people would complain that The Force Awakens is it's a good movie, it's a fine movie, but it, you know, it really is episode four over again. And I think the more and more people are watching it, and I'm like Justin, like, I love Luke Skywalker, my kid's name Luke for Christ's sake, and for him not to be in the movie at all still pisses me off to this day. The fact that he didn't share a scene with Han Solo in episode seven is something that will trouble me till the day I die, which is ridiculous. But yeah, it's just, I guess December 16th we'll get our answer of if Rogue One comes out and it's just basically episode seven, but with like different characters and stuff like that. But I hope that we're all wrong and that they do take some significant chances in these standalone films. So say we all.
Homogenized? No way. I like the ladies. That's all I could think about when Randy said that.
Well, speaking of the ever popular creative differences, The Flash has lost another director.
Oh, shit.
You know, Seth Graham Smith was the original director, and he left early on in the process, shortly after casting Ezra Miller as The Flash. And in stepped a different dude.
we'll say dude number two for short.
Yeah, in step dude number two. He directed another movie that people liked, and I'm just ramping right now while my screen loads, because I feel like an idiot
or something
now.
Like that?
What'd you say?
Famuyiwa?
Yeah, Rick Famuyiwa, who directed Dope. Or Famuyiwa. Famuyiwa. He directed the movie Dope, which is fine.
Pretty dope. Amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty dope. It was tight, you know.
Word, Nick.
yeah, and so he left. Well, what are we talking about?
Lethal Weapon 3.
Four letters? No, I know.
I'm just derailing you further. That's all.
It's like, what are you talking about, Rick? Four letters. Oh, R.D. Yeah, his vision of making the movie clashed with the studio's take.
Oh.
It's important to note that he got hired before Geoff Johns came in to be the overseer of the DCEU. So maybe what they wanted, you know, in May is different than what they wanted in October. But Randy, we've seen all these creative differences. You know, we've already lost. Now we've lost two directors off of Flash. We lost a Wonder Woman director because of it. We lost, you know, James
Deadpool.
Wan. James Wan did a full, like, I was just talking about the DCU.
Oh, okay.
James Wan did a complete, like, page one rewrite of Aquaman. Is DC just grasping at straws, or is this just a case of, like, now that they have this unifying force in Geoff Johns, he's like, fuck it, we're just going to do it this way?
Can I go with a third option?
Sure, you can go with fourth, fifth, sixth, whatever.
All right. I think and this is just conjecture, so take it with a grain of salt. I'm an asshole and I don't really know anything, but I'm going to give you my opinion anyway because I have a podcast. So,
I did ask, so it's my fault if it's terrible.
All right. So my thoughts are, Marvel has had a long time to get to where they are, and it seems to me that DC feels the need to catch up as fast as humanly possible. And in their haste, it just feels like a lot of things weren't necessarily done properly, and now they're at the point where they're having to go back and fix it. And that means a page one rewrite for Aquaman. That means going through multiple directors trying to find the right vision for The Flash. That means a lot of logistic problems that could have been solved had they decided to go into their cinematic universe with a little bit more care and a little bit more pre-production. So it all, to me, just comes down to bad planning in a nutshell.
Oh,
that's dude. Well, what do you think, Justin? What about you know, with superheroes, they're never just there for their own movie. You know, Flash has already appeared on screen twice. He was in Batman: Dawn of Justice, and he was in Suicide Squad. Do you think that since they're trying to interconnect so much, they have to find people that work well with others, maybe? And maybe that's part of the problem, that someone else wants to play with a character and you're working in a standalone film in a way you don't think is right, and maybe they have more pull than you? Or do you think maybe that they're starting production just too soon? I mean, Flash has been in production for a couple years now.
I think that Warner Brothers has a lot to do with this whole thing. I Remember with the Batman movies? Remember Batman? So, Schumacher was a victim of this, and rather than leave the movie, he stuck with it. And, you know, it's a heartbreaking process. And I just think that it's whoever is in charge of Warner Brothers, and they have their visions, and director has theirs, and they just... they can't come together. And I think that it is important to note that these directors, I think, are making the right call and just exiting. Why be miserable? Why put your name on something that you're not going to be happy with? Fucking, we saw that with Fantastic Four. Edgar Wright got the boot with Ant-Man. Now we're seeing this shit with Tim Miller and Deadpool. It's hard to be a director for a comic book movie, man. I don't know what it is about it, but everyone has their own thought on doing it. But I think when it comes down to it, it's whoever's writing the checks has the final say. And if you don't agree with them, then you might as well just leave. I think Randy is correct. I think that they are trying to play catch up, and that's not the way to approach it. I think that they should take their time. The superheroes aren't going anywhere. We've been dealing with superheroes since the fucking 1930s, and they're obviously here to stay. So what is the rush?
Not a goddamn thing. I don't know what the rush is. Mm-hmm. Well, their rush is they want to make $1 billion on these movies, I guess.
Right, and you know what though? It's I don't think that all movies are $1 billion properties. I think Batman probably should be. Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman definitely should have been. But there's no way Aquaman is a $1 billion movie. There's no way Flash is a $1 billion movie. It's just not in the cards.
Yeah.
And that's Marvel okay. Has... That's okay.
Yeah. You be you.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about spending the money wisely, right? Just do what you gotta do. Make a good movie, and then the money will come.
Yeah, I mean, Marvel had no expectations that Ant-Man would make $1 billion, or they're not expecting Doctor Strange to make $1 billion. You know, they wanted to make, you know, $600 to $800 million, and you know that would be a success. But they're not expecting it to do Iron Man numbers,
right? Even Suicide Squad—that's the most recent victim of this creative differences, and that movie still got finished with the same director, but. You know, it was a big buzz with reshoots, and Jared Leto, someone who was taking on an ambitious role, wasn't pleased with how it turned out, and he said, oh, we could have made a whole movie on the material I shot, and blah, blah, blah. I think that's terrible. I hate it when whether it be the talent or directors or anybody involved with the movie isn't happy with it and has to talk about it. In a magazine or an interview, it's like you said, it's insulting to the people that spent hours and hours and made all kinds of sacrifices that didn't get the job done. So that's sad.
Yeah, it is sad. Zeus Squad ended up making $750 million.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. I mean, I hated it, but I'm glad that it made money.
Yeah, it almost made as much as Deadpool. Deadpool made $782 million, so it's only. I mean, it might even still be in some theater, so probably won't catch it. But, you know, it's only $30 million behind what people would say is one of the bigger successes of the year.
Yeah, but it's tough being a superhero movie, man. Everyone has their own ideas, and everyone's writing the checks, and it's hard to come together on that.
Yeah, I think that Marvel made the mistake early of hiring, like, directors with visions. You know, you had your Favreau's, you had your Branaghs, and even their Edgar Wrights they brought in. But now it's almost all TV directors, you know, the Russos, they direct TV, Alan Thorne does the Thor movies, he's from TV. And I think that's something that the Marvel or DC universe needs to learn. You know, they have Zack Snyder right now, and then they have, you know, they had David Ayer and they had James Wan, but you know, now they have Patty Jenkins, who's from TV. I'm sure whoever they replace, for Flash, they'll probably start getting TV directors because they work within the system, and I think they're used to not being the main creative force for the episode. The director's usually under the showrunners and the producers and stuff, to where on films, the director's usually, you know, has a lot more input in film. And so I think that's why we're seeing a lot more TV directors in big films nowadays. but not Brian Fuller. He's no longer the showrunner of Star Trek Discovery.
Ooh, which is kind of
sad.
A show that's only available on some stupid streaming service that nobody has.
Yeah, CBS All Access.
Are you kidding me? Jesus, tap dancing. That ship is going to be decommissioned before it even leaves the station.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird. I mean, they were pushing Brian Fuller hard at Comic-Con. You know, we spoke to him, and they were like, oh, Brian's got this vision. He's going to lead us. We're all behind Brian. We got this. This is going to be great. Brian. And then, like, 2 months ago, we got the Brian has a vision, and we're not going to be able to make it on time. We're going to be a little bit late, but it's okay. We're with Brian. And then Friday, they're like, oh, yeah, Brian Fuller's not our showrunner anymore. Randy, what the fuck?
Personally, I heard it was because he upset a certain interviewer and sometimes web personality at Comic-Con this year, and that person was quoted as saying, you're never going to work in this town again, and pulled a few strings, and thus, he is no longer showrunner. That person I'm referring to is Mr. David Edmondson, and you can see the video where it all happens on the Geek Legacy YouTube channel.
He was a delight, and I loved him, and this news makes me sad.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. He's got an amazing body of work. It's just interesting to see how this is going down and what the final product of the show is going to turn into because of it.
Yeah, he's still an executive producer. He's still working on the scripts. But I'm sorry, Justin, what were you going to say?
Nothing.
Oh, I thought you sounded like you were...
I was ramping up. That was me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Randy is ramping up. Randy, sorry. I didn't mean you're in for your ramp.
No, it's fine. Basically, what I was going to say was I'm curious to see if it's still going to have as strong a female-centric lead or female-centric cast as Fuller was originally going for. Because that's one of the things that he does, you know, with his series. This series is...
Yeah, Hannibal and Pushing Daisies and whatnot. He's a talented fool. Now, we've talked a little bit about... What?
Talented fool.
But I mean, all of his projects are so like beloved by fans, and he seems to really grasp what fans want, and he has really passionate audiences, and I think that was something that we were hoping to translate into Star Trek. And do you think that, you know, the oft-cited creative differences thing tab does apply here, Justin, to where maybe he wanted to make the show that fans wanted and CBS wanted to make the show that would last longer and make more money?
I don't know the answer to that. I feel like... to me, it seems like it's destined to fail because it's only on this stupid demand channel. Like, our streaming service. Like, to me, it seems like a waste of time. Maybe he just jumped the proverbial ship before it even fucking left the dock. Because who's going to watch this show? No one's going to watch it.
I think they're hoping that Star Trek's a big enough property that people will pay $10 a month to watch
it. No, it is not. It's blowing my fucking mind that is the route that they took. They might as well just post it on YouTube and they would have got a billion views. That would be their best bet.
There's going to be a Good Wife spinoff too, so there's going to be two shows.
There's going to be what?
A Good Wife spinoff.
Oh, great. I honestly think that Brian Fuller is better off distancing himself from this.
You're probably right.
It is going to be a fucking pile. And even if it is amazing, all 17 people get to tell us about it. We can have them all on the podcast at once.
Of a call-in show.
Yeah.
Everyone who watched it.
It'll be a party line.
We'll just live tweet it. It's like the 8 people watching it.
Fucking ridiculous.
I agree. And for streaming service, it's not even a Netflix thing to where you get it all at once. Like, it's still a week-to-week thing.
Yeah, even worse. And by the way, Netflix is the only streaming service that has shit figured out. Their service is so intuitive and so easy, everyone else is just fucking light years behind. I swear to God, anytime I use Amazon Prime, I just want to punch my own dick. Anytime I watch HBO Go, I hate it too. I hate every stream. And Hulu? My God, Hulu. Hate. Netflix is the only one that's got that shit figured out.
I agree with you. Why don't they just copy what Netflix does?
I don't know. Maybe they can't.
Maybe. I mean, you can't, like, just straight up it up, but they have to be able to do some of the things. Nope, like, they're all, just
It's all a mystery.
Like, even, like, their search functions and stuff are shitty.
I don't know. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah. No.
It makes my fucking blood boil just talking about it.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Yeah. Swear to God.
Hulu.
It does. It's the worst. Hulu is the worst. Oh, my God. And I have 170 megabyte download speeds, and it still has to buffer every once in a while. What the fuck? Asshole.
Hulu!
I saw get him on the phone. Do like a total Rooney, and then just hang up on him. Swear to God,
you still
want
me to keep Ferris Bueller's phone number?
God, they're so terrible.
Well, I wanted to break up the Star Wars news and not just make it a whole Star Wars podcast, but Gareth Edwards, the director of Rogue One, recently described director Krennic, you know, Ben Mendelsohn's character, is a working-class villain. And we've kind of seen in the trailer that he's actually on the ground with his troopers and stuff like that. And he was quoted as saying that you would not find this character in the Royal Shakespearean Company like you would all the other Imperials, and that he might not mesh well with people like Tarkin. So Randy, we'll start with you this time. Oh, no, we started with you last time. Justin, we're going to start with you this time. What do you think about them pointing out that he's a working-class villain? Do you think this has something to do with maybe he'll work better with Vader because Vader's also kind of an away team kind of guy? Or,
yeah.
Absolutely.
I translate that into a character that we can relate to on a day to day, someone that we would appreciate, which might cause some kind of inner conflict and maybe even root for the quote unquote bad guy in a sense.
What?
Yeah.
Like maybe he might defect?
Ooh.
Or are we just rooting for him because Tarkin's a douche?
Tarkin is a bit of a douche. He's a fucker, that one. He's an interesting character. But no, I think like one of the coolest part about watching the Clone Wars cartoon was seeing how Anakin and Obi-Wan were right there in the trenches with all their troops, and they weren't just giving orders and sending people off to their death. They were there fighting alongside. And I think that goes a long way. And I think that this will be a character that has a very human side. You know, we don't get to see the human side of Star Wars villains because they're wearing masks or they're deformed or whatever, or they're just dicks like Tarkin who just likes to blow up planets. So I think that could be an interesting turn of events.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they went on to further say that he'd kind of reached the end. He'd gone as far as he could in the Empire because he is not that refined Governor Tarkin style thing. So what do you make a Krennic, Randy? Do you think it's just a one and done guy, or do you think maybe he's got some meat on his bones?
I think he's got some meat on his bones, and I really appreciate seeing a little bit of three dimensionality in this particular Imperial officer, especially considering what we saw of General Hux in Episode 7. We were all excited, like, ooh, Imperial officers, Imperial might. And he was just kind of a little ginger P-word, you know? And his character wasn't explored as much as it could have been. I've always had a big thing for Imperial officers. And I have nothing against gingers, or P-words, for that matter.
I don't think anybody was explored. What was the one lady, Phasma?
Phasma.
Whatever.
We could go off on an entire...
Yeah,
podcast length tangent on that.
Remember Han Solo?
I remember he died without seeing Luke.
Yeah,
I'm going to make a prediction though. I'm going to say that I think, and I don't. I'm not up on spoilers to know whether or not this happens, but my prediction is I think Krennic is going to die in Rogue One.
Ooh.
And there's one particular shot in the trailer, the last one, where Vader is just like storming towards somebody.
Yeah.
And if you could see the look in his eye, which you can't, but if you have to imagine what it looks like behind that helmet, it looks like he's about to just, like, lop somebody's head off.
Yeah.
And it kind of looks like he's going towards Krennic. So, I don't know. Maybe...
Force choke a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 100% Krennic. He's got the robe, and it's definitely Krennic.
Yeah, maybe alerted the bad guys. Yeah.
Gave him some bad news or something. Mm. I don't know, but... I am super excited about it, and I love the idea of him actually defecting or somehow helping the rebels. So
yeah, I bet she escapes, and he let her go, and Vader picks up on that and murders him where he stands.
Because, I mean, he is friends with Galen, who's Jin's dad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So maybe as a favor to Galen, he allows Jin to escape with the plans, knowing that, you know, that's going to be the end for him.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a pretty good death.
Yeah, so Galen dies, then so he feels bad, lets her live, then he dies.
Yeah.
Credits.
Vader almost woke shit up.
Yeah.
Credits. Vader comes in, lops his head off, and it's like,
the head flies off to a wipe.
Yeah, circle wipe. I like everything you're saying, Justin, and you too, Randy. Mm-hmm. I like your bold claim. I want everyone to die in fucking Rogue One. I want Jin to die. That'd be awesome. Is that sexist, or is that would it be sexist if I said I didn't want her to die? I don't know the rules anymore.
I don't think there are rules. I think people just make it up as they go.
I wanted her to be a bad guy. I wanted her to just be like a deep undercover Imperial.
Yeah. Just shoots them all in the back.
That would suck.
Goes like Knights of the Republic on her when you get to choose who if you want to kill everybody. She's like, mm-hmm. Yes, I kill them all. Even the Wookiee.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's not sad news because I know we all loved 10 Cloverfield Lane. There's going to be a third movie in the Cloverfield universe. J.J. Abrams has directed a movie called God Particle, and that is going to be the third film in this franchise. So, Justin, you saw... Randy, did you see 10 Cloverfield Lane?
I still have not, no.
Ooh, that's good. That's right up your alley, too, man.
It's got John Goodman in it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll eventually see it.
Pretty good.
You sure? Well, what do you think about that news, Justin? Does that excite you?
It does. I am a sucker for the all things Cloverfield. I'm a fan, and this is like a space station kind of movie, and to me that just screams claustrophobia. So I like that. I like the idea of being like alone. And in need of help, and I think that's what you're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
What about you, Randy? Are you excited for the continuation of the Cloverfield franchise, of which you haven't been keeping up with?
Couldn't give two shits.
Oh.
Not even two?
No, not even one. Mm. I can't be troubled.
That's too bad. It's a sci-fi thriller, Randy. You like sci-fi thrillers.
No, I like the music video for Thriller.
Like Wayne's World. It's a sci-fi thriller.
I don't think I like the name, God Particle. I don't even know what that means.
I'm sure it has some meaning in the universe. I'm sure like they discover some new element and someone's like, it's a God Particle.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm.
This space station is going to stumble upon some monster and then have to survive. It's like Alien.
Or maybe it creates the monster that becomes the Cloverfield monster. Maybe it's a prequel. The original.
Maybe.
The God Particle. Sorry.
It's fine.
Heard Randy had a game for us. Randy, take me out of this nosedive.
All right, so we're going to pull out of this nosedive and go right into another one, spiraling to our fiery death. And this one, actually, might be skewed a little bit in your direction, David. So, Justin, I apologize in advance. And if this doesn't work out so well as a game, we'll just call it 25 fun Star Wars trivia facts you may not have known.
Oh, shit.
But I'm going to be testing you guys, so I expect results.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what the results are going to be. Actually, I'm pretty sure I do, but you might be surprised. There's some stuff in here that you legitimately probably don't know, but the other 24 questions you probably do. So,
that's a lot of questions.
All right.
Without any further ado.
Just shout it out, or are we going just, alternating?
We can alternate. Sure, let's do that route.
Can we steal?
If the other person doesn't know it, sure.
But here's the thing. If you answer the question when it's your turn, you get 2 points. If you steal, you only get 1 point. It's only worth half as much.
Ooh. I like it.
Keeps it fair. All right. Justin, what were Luke's aunt and uncle's job on Tatooine?
Weren't they farmers?
What did they farm?
Moisture?
Yes, your favorite word.
They ain't a lot of it in the desert, you see, and they farm it.
Let's really steal that.
All right. David.
Ready.
In how many languages is C-3PO fluent?
6 million forms of communication. Over 6 million forms of communication.
Yes.
And Bashi is like a second language to him.
Yes. See, you know more than you low level. Yeah, these questions are mostly original trilogy, so you guys both stand a chance here. Although this next one could be iffy. Justin, what is the Wookiee's homeworld, and how do you pronounce it?
Ooh, Kashyyyk.
Exactly. You got it. That's 2 points for you, good sir. All right, David.
Isn't that 4 points, technically?
Four total.
Yeah, no, I'm just being an asshole.
Yeah, four total. Dick. David, who actually shot first?
Why you gotta throw me like that? There's two answers to that.
It's a total subjective meta question.
Well, George Lucas, who created the franchise and who you have to believe in, said that Greedo shot first.
I said the same thing, so he gets full credit for that one, Randy.
Well, you're wrong. It's Han Solo.
Nope. That is not true.
I mean, chronologically, in 1977, he shot first. If you want to change things around in 97, sure, that's fine, but he still shot first.
What movie are we talking about? Captain Antilles shot first because he shot the first stormtrooper. Depends what movie we're talking about.
Nobody gets points.
Oh,
I get
man.
Point.
Nope. Yeah, I think that that's wrong.
Justin is in the lead. Don't screw this up for yourself.
I know, but that's George Lucas was he just lost the footage of Greedo shooting first. He was passionate enough about Greedo to shoot first, and that he had to re-release a whole movie
because he had 20 years to second guess himself. Shouldn't have had him shoot first.
Like 8 or 9 years ago, Lucas released footage proving that he always intended for Greedo to shoot first. If you remember that footage.
I don't.
You lying. So you remembered. Okay, now I'll accept your ruling, Randy, but let me ask you one question. Sure. Had I said Han shot first, would you have made it to where Greedo shot first?
No, I would have given you the points, because that's the correct answer.
You would have won it the other way.
All right.
Scandalous.
Justin.
Yes.
Gonna go a little deeper. Which character is partially named after George Lucas's son? He's in episode 2. I'll give you a hint. Had an action figure and everything.
I don't remember.
David, do you want to steal it?
Are you talking about... I thought it was
episode 2. It's not the kid that his son plays. This one is named after his son.
Is it called Jet Lucas?
No. Well, his son is
it like Zet Jukasa or something like that?
That I think that was the name of the episode 3 Jedi Padawan character that his son played. The answer we were looking for was Dexter Jetster.
Are you talking about the cook?
The cook from episode 2.
I don't think this list is right.
No. The Outer Rim. It's beyond the Outer Rim.
You got one. Camino and they got a saber dart for those comedians.
So stupid.
Fuck that movie.
Oh my god. I know that episode 1 gets a lot of shit, but 2 is god awful.
2 is worse than 1. 2's lucky that like the last like 40 minutes of it are pretty good because it's like nonstop action and none of Hayden Christensen talking. But 2's better. 1's better than 2. Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of the going theory right now that everybody seems to share. All right, David, back to you.
All right.
In what movie does the camera pan back up after the crawl?
Does the movie pan...
So in the majority of the movies, it either stays stationary or tilts down. But in which one does it tilt up?
That is a great question. I am going to say Return of the Jedi.
Incorrect.
Damn.
According to this, it is Episode 2, Attack of the Clones.
Justin, that's good to steal that one?
Oh. That's fine. I would have guessed wrong.
Justin, do you want to steal that one?
No, I would have guessed wrong.
I was going to give you a free 2 points.
Then. I know, honest. A free one point, I know. But I am an honest man.
I appreciate that.
And you are 2 points in the lead.
You're a good guy.
But maybe because of my high moral fiber, I should get a point anyway.
Because you're so magnanimous.
All right, you get a point.
So all right!
3 points in the lead. All right. Justin, this one's back on you. How many Dubaks were in the original 1977 theatrical cut of the first Star Wars movie?
Ooh.
And Dubaks, as you know, are the big lizard-looking being creatures.
Was there one way off in the distance that you could barely see what it was? I'm going to say one. It's zero or one. I'll say one.
Well, you know there's at least one.
Yeah. I'll say one.
All right. There are
two. Two. David. I would have guessed two. Yeah, I would have guessed one originally, but since Justin guessed one, I would have said two.
It is two because you see two with the stormtroopers, but you also see one outside of
the cantina.
Mos Eisley cantina.
Yeah. I thought that there was the one way off in the distance when the two stormtroopers are like talking about like that. Look, sir, droids or whatever. And then I forgot.
I think in the special edition they added another one back there.
Yeah, where he walks in. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Good job, Dave.
Right,
now you stand a chance.
Yeah, bah. Meat's back on the menu.
All right, you're only 2 points behind, David. You can tie it up with this one.
I'm nervous.
Which species stole the plans to the second Death Star?
The Bothans.
Correct. And the game is tied. Just like that.
Mm. But no one really cares about the Bothans.
This one, it's long, so I'm going to give you... I'll give you credit if you get the beginning of it correct. Mm-hmm. What was the original name of the first Star Wars movie when it went into production?
I don't know the answer to that.
David, do you want to steal?
It ended with, like, The Adventures of Starkiller. Like, Star Wars...
I will give you the point for that. It is, and this isn't really when it went into production, it was more like when it was originally written, but yeah. Adventures of Luke Starkiller as taken from the Journal of the Wills, Saga 1, The Star Wars.
The Star Wars.
I would have taken Adventures of Luke Starkiller or Journal of the Wills or The Star Wars.
Like,
all three of them are within the one title, though. All right, David, this one's to you. Which bounty hunter in Empire Strikes Back is wearing an old costume from a Doctor Who episode?
Is it Bosk?
It is Bosk. 2 more points for you, sir.
Is he rocking Justin. The long scarf?
Yeah. Now, although I think it is the same era of Doctor Who, I could be wrong. But, yeah. Justin, who kissed Leia first, Han or Luke? You are correct, and technically she kissed kissed him before swinging across the chasm. If you want to count her as the aggressor, but you are correct, sir.
He's like, "Come on," and she's like, "Good luck." Oh. Why are you wearing so much white, kid?
For luck.
They're both wearing a lot of white, actually. Now that I think about it, she's got a white dress. He's got the white outfit. Too much.
It's like a wedding.
Everybody's in virgin. I don't like it.
All right, David, this one's to you.
Ready.
What does ATACT stand for?
We're going to Rogue One here?
Yeah, I'm altering this one for Rogue One.
All right, so AT is all terrain, and then it's ACT?
ACT, ACT.
Armored cargo transport.
Correct, sir. 2 points.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I remember Randy telling us, like, when we were talking about it, I'm like, that's stupid. I'm going to remember that.
You're like, that's stupid. When am I ever going to need to know that? Boom, right now.
Yeah, I listen to you, Randy.
Justin, let's see how... I know you've got somewhat of a photographic memory, so I'm going to put that to the test right now. All right. Empire Strikes Back. The Millennium Falcon is in the asteroid field. What odds does C-3PO give Han Solo for successfully navigating his way out?
I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. It's high. Astronomically high. I don't know it, though.
you could tell me the exact date that Dick Tracy was released in 1990.
I don't know the answer to that.
That's all right. David, do you want to steal?
It's like 6,000. It's like 3,000. I couldn't tell you.
I thought your Google fingers were doing
411. I don't know. Or
3,720 to 1.
That's pretty close.
Never tell me the odds.
All right. Yeah. So nobody gets that one, and we go back to David. Who is Lando Calrissian's co-pilot in Episode 6, Return of the Jedi?
Liam Neeson.
Hell yeah. All right.
Yeah.
What is the name of Boba Fett's ship?
Slave 1.
Correct.
You got a jersey that says that, and I get some weird looks sometimes.
Yeah, I'll bet. David. Who was the original commander of the Death Star?
The original commander of the Death Star? Like, pre-Tarkin?
In the movies. Yeah.
Oh, Tarkin. Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah. Yep. Justin.
Evacuate?
What is the...
In our moment of triumph.
I think you overestimate our chances.
Clock wipe to boom.
Justin, yeah. What is the largest annual pod race in the world, and who was Anakin Skywalker's chief rival in it?
Sebulba was the chief rival.
Correct.
And then it was like a race on like Bunta Eve or something, but I don't really know what
Correct.
It's called.
Bunta Eve.
Okay, that's good yep. enough?
You got it, yep.
Okay.
it's the Bunta Eve Classic and Sebulba. Yep. Everybody's right. correct. All right, now, this one's a fun one.
Ooh, David, I like fun ones.
What day is Wookiee Life Day, and where did we first learn about the holiday?
We first learned about the holiday in the holiday special.
Yeah, and I'll give you a hint. That holiday special was released or shown on TV on the day of Life Day. Oh, if you shit. Know what day it played.
Oh, I'm going to say December 12th.
Justin, do you want to steal?
I wasn't alive.
Do you want to take a guess in the month of November?
I don't feel like half.
No, I don't. November 20th.
November 17th. Close.
$1, Bob. But I wasn't, but David, I wasn't alive.
David, you get 1 point for getting half the question right. That was the holiday special. All right. Justin. Darth Vader's chest piece has some writing on it. What language is it in? That's 2 points. And what does it translate to? That's another 2 points.
Ooh. I don't know.
Do you want to take any guesses? You're not going to guess probably what it translates to unless you already know this factoid, but the language is interesting.
I honestly, I have no idea what it is.
Think Ark of the Covenant.
It's Hebrew?
Ancient
I don't know.
Hebrew.
Is it really?
Yep, so you get 2 points there. Now, David, do you want to steal for what it translates to say?
It's like... Fuck. It was something dumb. It was like something religious. Like one who... Or I don't know. Fuck off. I give up.
Well, you're on the right track. His deeds will not be forgiven until he merits.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's some cryptic shit.
Right. That's pretty amazing. So, cool. All right. David, you're still 2 points in the lead.
Sweet. I like the sound of that.
All right. And this is your question.
Oh.
The Imperial probe droid was also known by another name. What is it?
Imperial probe. Should really know this. Are we talking like its numerical number, or it has a different name?
It has a different name.
It's not like Spider Droid, right?
No.
I don't know.
Justin, do you want to take a guess?
I know, and I'm
I have no idea.
It says it on the toy from the 80s.
Oh, yeah. I still don't know it.
What does it say?
Steve. Its name is Steve.
Oh, shit.
Justin, next question. No.
I'm all
robot.
Oh, robot. Fuck. I should have known. I knew that.
Yeah. Like the turret and probe bot playset.
Damn it.
All right, Justin,
an Imperial next probe droid. I bet the Empire knows we're here. It's great.
Which is the first original theatrical movie where we actually see Jabba the Hutt?
Return of the Jedi.
Correct, sir. And you tie things up. We're all tied up.
Which is going increasingly higher on my list of favorite Star Wars movies.
It's so good. It holds up. I hate the haters who don't like Ewoks. Hate it because of the Ewoks.
I've always loved Return of the Jedi.
There's so much going on. It's awesome. Oh,
it all comes together wonderfully at the end. Like everything connects.
No, they're in space. They're in the forest. They're in desert. It's fucking. They're all back together again. It's incredible.
And it's like pre-CGI epic.
Yeah.
Like that space battle. I'm like, oh.
Even the fucking forest speeding race thing where they're just on the speeders and they're throwing troopers into trees and blowing shit up. It's just cool, man. It's got guerrilla warfare. It's got space battles. It's got lightsaber fights. What else do you need? It's incredible. I don't know.
People it's got kick-ass laser sword action.
Laser sword action. Randy. Continue with
Boba
your
Fett
question.
Goes out like a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
All right. David, I believe this is your question.
Yep.
Where was Luke Skywalker originally headed to pick up power converters?
I was going to go to Tashi Station to pick up power converters. Sorry. Tashi Station.
Yep. Correct.
You waste time with your friends later. After your chores are done. That's what he says.
Justin.
Yeah. And that line of dialogue is just as bad as anything Hayden Christensen says. So I don't want to hear this original trilogy was better written bullshit.
No, it was. I think we can all admit that it was written pretty poorly. It just has a different sentimental value to us.
Right.
And I think it's also trying to show that he's a kid at heart.
Yeah.
He's still a boy. A young adult. He would be reading Hunger Games.
Yeah.
If they had it.
He'd be on Team Gale.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what that means.
Justin, who is the only Rebel pilot to survive all three movies in the original trilogy?
Wedge Antilles.
Correct, sir. Tying things back up.
Just a quick side note, we had our Cub Scout Halloween party, and one of the kids made sure to come to me because he knew he loved Star Wars to tell me that when he got his X-Wing costume, that he made sure that his mom helped him customize his helmet because he wanted to be Wedge, the greatest fighter pilot in the history of the Rebellion. I'm like,
that's awesome.
You're the best kid ever.
You're all, can I trade one of mine for you?
Yeah, take the one that doesn't like Star Wars. I was excited for that, but I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Okay, so now Star Wars movies are coming out in December. But in what month were all six of the previous Star Wars released?
May.
Correct.
May the Force be with you.
Yeah. Which also happens to be the same month as George Lucas's birthday.
That's right. He always used to come out the weekend before Memorial Day. It's like the 19th, like the 17th through the 21st, usually.
All right. We are on question 25, which is the last one on our list. Justin, if you get it right, you're going to tie things up. If you don't, well, it looks like David might be taking this one home.
So Justin gets closer, an extra question?
And a closer... Yeah. Well, I should rate this one 3 points.
Okay. It is a good pitch. Now we're talking.
But right. I have no ability to answer it.
You could steal. You could steal if he doesn't know.
Just let me have this, Dave.
All right, let's hear it. Better be hardcore. Better not be fucking who shot second.
All right, so this is a 12-part question.
Oh, my God.
I only have one question for you in 27 parts.
It was abandoned.
Yeah.
All right. Melon Patch Kids.
This is an easy question. Well, not easy, but I mean it's a short question. What species is Yoda?
Ooh, he is a Yoda. I don't know. I'm gonna say he's a Yoda. Yoda is a Yoda.
David, do you want to steal?
Yeah, Yoda doesn't have a species.
The correct answer?
No matter what.
Are you gonna say unknown? If you say unknown, I'm gonna punch you in the dick over Skype, like Spacely Sprocket would to George Jetson.
or don't give me the shit that like he's a manifestation of the Force or something like that.
The official answer, according to this website that I don't remember that I copied this list off of, is nobody knows.
Oh shit!
So right. Yeah, Randy just gets the punch in the dick is what you're saying.
Pretty much, yeah. From there, but I will give you another golden snitch.
No, but I answered it right.
No, you didn't.
I said he doesn't have a species.
This one's worth 1,200 points. All right, Justin.
There's a second golden snitch after I won?
There's always a second golden snitch.
No, but now it's smaller. Now it's my turn. Now it's my turn to go first.
You have an asterisk next to your name already, Dave.
All right, Dave. I'll ask.
Well, I won without those points. I don't even need those points. You got it wrong, so I win.
No, this is just a fun little.
But I gave up like multiple free points because I'm nice. So
you gave up a free point, and then Randy awarded you that said free point.
After all,
because we're so magnanimous.
This is a bonus question, and it's more of an oddity than anything else. So the game's already over. David, you won. Okay.
Yeah, right.
In episode 1, we actually saw another of Yoda's species on the Jedi Council.
Yaddle.
Yaddle.
A female. What was her name?
Yaddle.
Yep. I heard Justin first. That means he, in an upset, takes it away.
Yes!
From him,
yes!
But it wasn't his question to answer. It was my question.
No, he said it was a whole separate new game, and it was worth a billion points, and... It was worth more points than the odds of successfully navigating through an asteroid field.
I'm actually surprised that both of you guys knew that one so readily. I mean, I knew it because I had the action figure. Like, way back in the episode 1 era, they had these little Jedi Council sets. And if you got, like, 6 of them or whatever, you could form the full circle. And it had all the little chairs and seats around it with all the random miscellaneous no-name Jedi. And Yaddle was one of them, so they actually made an action figure of her, and I think I have it in a junk drawer somewhere.
I got excited when I saw Yaddle, and I kind of did some digging, because that was the first time we got to see another Yoda-esque.
Yeah, I was excited too, because I thought we were going to actually find out some more about Yoda, but nope, it was just a tease.
Yeah.
And then she said nothing and did nothing.
Just turned her little head.
Yeah.
Turned a little puppet head.
He's like, I'm just here because I'm old.
And then she must have died because we don't see her again.
Yeah, she dies in one of the Expanding Universe novels.
How does she die?
Like she dies off page. Like she's on like a covert mission with Obi-Wan and somebody else, and she holds off the line so everyone else can escape.
Oh.
She sacrifices herself.
Sad.
Yeah. She's like, I'm like a trillion years old. I was going to die anyways. Let's go.
Oh, that's funny.
So when you're 900 years old, you'll want to die too, trust me. Shit gets boring. Only one who'll bang me is Yoda, and he's just as wrinkly as me.
He definitely looks really, really, really old in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, he's having fun in Empire, but he's old and sad and dying in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
It's like, how much time has passed?
Time has caught up to him in Jedi.
He was holding on to life to do one purpose, and he completed that his final mission in life. So now all he needed to do was tell this kid that the chick he wants to bang's his sister.
Huh.
And then if something bad happens, he should just hide out on the planet like a little bitch and not try to stop it from happening.
Yikes.
Episode 7 is your fault, Luke. That should be a trending hashtag. It's all his. Everything about Episode 7 is Luke Skywalker's fault. Han Solo is dead because of Luke Skywalker.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing we saw from Luke Skywalker and anything we've seen, read, heard, or been told about Luke Skywalker would make us think that when the going gets tough, he's just going to hide like a little bitch. He lost a hand in Bespin, and he hung on to that goddamn weather vane till Leia came and saved him and turned himself over to Vader, but all of a sudden his like nephew gets all fucking emo. He's going to be like, oh no, let me go hide on this water planet and not tell anyone where I'm going. Mm-hmm. It wasn't with R2. It didn't even have R2. Like, that was the saving grace. Like, we didn't see any R2 in The Force Awakens, but that was fine because R2's with Luke and we don't see Luke. But no, R2's just fucking sitting there collecting dust because he's sad. Like, what the fuck, J.J. Abrams? I get it. You want BB-8 to be the new hotness. So have fucking R2 be off and I keep forgetting the name of the planet that Luke's on. But anyways, have him be over there.
But no. Yeah, it's kind of weird that they're separated.
Yeah.
Fucking Abrams, man. I will not thank the maker for such atrocities.
That's what I like about the whole point of this new South Park season. It's like, The Force Awakens isn't as good as you think it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, great game, Randy, not just because I won, or kind of won, or maybe lost to Justin at the end. I'm still iffy. I'll have to listen to it back. I'm sure Justin can edit it into a manner of which he wins.
I'm the only one that gets points.
Yeah, just, everyone just, like, silence, and, like, and then, like, you put, like, Dodo music or something, like, duh!
Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. It's supposed to guards.
I like that part.
It's a good part, but you guys got anything else? Anything else, Justin? Got anything to add?
No, I don't.
Randy, what do you got? Anything? Nothing?
Not a darn thing.
Well, sweet. Well, that's an easy outro then. So, yeah, thanks for listening to the Geek Legacy Podcast, guys. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you listen to this shit, and rate us 5 stars. Tell all your friends how much you love us and you want to listen to us every second of every day. And after you listen to us, go listen to the Comic Corner Podcast with the mighty Jer Jeff and Tyler Waterman, who recap comics every other week, tell you what you should get, what you should not get, and it's a lot of fun. Then we got the Pixelated Podcast with our very own Justin Cavender and his best buddy in the whole world, Stephen K. James, Y2-3000. And make sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Geek Legacy, and go to geeklegacy.com for all of your geek news and reviews. See ya!